Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Little Wallflowers podcast. I'm Winnie Wu.
And I'm Tony Rose.
We have our best friend with us. You guys know her as having some of the cutest merchandise out there. And she has stickers. She has mugs. She has all, guys. Anything romance-ish, related-ish, she has it. I have a sticker of yours on a Yeti that's not mine.
Claim it.
And Kermit's like, how the fuck do you wash this shit? I was like, wash the inside, don't wash the outside.
Just we got scratch
her. We got red dirt out here. So he's like, no, okay. He sticks everything in the dishwasher. And I'm like, no, we don't do dishwashers, we hand wash everything. But anyways,
use a soft sponge.
yeah. You all are probably following along on the Penny Royal Green read along. It's been so much fun. And she has the best giveaways, signed copies of these Penny Royal Green books, which we all want. Thanks for coming back, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
The best friends, though.
Yes. And we're so excited to talk about this book.
Yeah.
We love this book. It's a great way to wrap up the series.
It's a really brilliant season finale.
It really is.
It's real. She wraps the whole series up really, really well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Everything. And we've always said this, you can't really have a happy ending unless everything is happy. And it is for all four of them. So it's really, really great.
And then some.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
So we've met you and now since the beginning of the series. A lot of people do not like him. A lot of people were very hesitant to read this book. But as soon as I found out that he did the Bare Knuckle Bastards wrong, I was like, he's going to be book three and I love it. I can't wait. So when we first saw him, he was just kind of like playing a cat and mouse game with Devil. The next book, he thought Grace was dead and he literally turned Covent Garden upside down. He did not give a shit. He started just making so much trouble for Devil and Beast. He fucking dead ass locked Devil into a freezer. He said, you can't have happiness and I'm taking away yours. And and it's just, and he threatened Wit like from the beginning, like, I know what your weakness is and it's Hattie. He's like, stay away from her because I will take her away from you because you took my happiness away, my chance of happiness away from me. Yeah. And then so at the end of the last book, as we mentioned, we saw him running towards Hattie, trying to save her from the explosion. And up above on the rooftops, Grace was watching the whole thing. And then she said, this ends now. She gets her henchwoman to go drag him wherever she drags people. We find out that it's been a couple days now since that had happened and she's been playing nursemaid and people are making fun of her. She's like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care about him. She does. She totally cares. And he wakes up and he's like, he remembers a woman taking care of him. He says that he's always been saved by angels, but it's not the same angel. It's not the angel that he wants this time around. This time they're really rough. And but he could have swore there were times where he thought Grace was touching him. And then he gets up, he tries to go to the door to open it and it's locked, so he's like, okay. And then he goes back to try to figure out where he's at and he realizes that someone was in the room and they were trying to leave, and he immediately knows that it's Grace. And oh gosh, the pull that the two of them have together. And then Devil and Wit are like, what the fuck are you doing? We heard you've been playing nursemaid. Like she was like, because the revenge is mine. He hurt me. He hurt me the most, or he took the most from me. And they're like, fine. So they bring him down. She beats the living crap out of him. Mm-hmm. Like, and he lets her because we're in his head. He doesn't even care. He spent this last year just destroying everything because he thought she was dead. He doesn't even care. He's like, beat me up, please. Give me your love taps, you know? I love it. All he cares is that she's alive. And she was like, don't ever come back. So he disappears for a year. And like me, when I say something, I don't really mean it. And then I was like, she's like, well, I told him to leave, but is that what I really wanted? And she's like, what am I thinking? Of course that's what I wanted, you know? And then in her club, she hears that he's back And he's hella finer. he doesn't look mad anymore. All the girls are kind of swooning and talking about him and like, oh, he's been to the club. He's been talking to dads. He's been dancing every jig, every reel, every waltz. Like he's going to all the balls because he's looking for a wife. And she's like, over my dead body. So she's like, I need an invitation to his ball, which is a masked ball. And we find out later that it's all a trap, but she walks into this ball. It's the woods that her and Ewan fell in love with in, and it's just so amazing. And when he sees her, he comes over. He knows who she is, but they're playing this game that they both don't know each other, because well, she has wig on and dark makeup, and a mask. So she thinks that that's what's gonna make him not know who she is. So this isn't Cinderella. and so they have a little, oh my God, they have a super hot moment, and she runs away, but this is just a push and pull between them the whole time. Oh, that's kind of how the story opens. How do you like the book, Natalie?
I love this book.
Yes.
Love this book. Definitely my favorite in the series. Probably my favorite since the Casino series of Sarah's stuff. I love this book. I love the angst between them. I can feel the emotion. I can feel the pain that Ewan is experiencing. It's amazing. I mean, I have a giant laundry list of things that I like about it. So
keep going. I
mean, you guys better take your turn. It'll be an hour of Natalie listing everything that she loves about this book. I will say that, I mean, I love an anti-hero, so I didn't hate Ewan in the other books. I kind of always gave him a little bit of justification because he was just so heartbroken and grief-stricken, and you know, he thought that Grace was dead, and yeah, there's so many emotions in this book, so many strong emotions. And I love it. I love everything about it.
I love that Sarah McLean does that anti-hero for the last book of the series.
Always.
Like, so like when you get to the last book, you're like, how will this guy redeem himself? This book, all of the grand gestures, and it's not just for Grace too, it's for everyone he's hurt. Mm-hmm. And of course it's gonna, even if it's not specifically for Grace, it's gonna pull on her heartstrings. And I love that it was so based on like his actions, you know, negating his bad actions that has happened before he found out that Grace was actually alive. So I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah,
a lot. And it's very unexpected. I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah,
like they know there's that pull for between the two of them, but they're always like pushing, or Grace is at least it's always pushing him away, and I'm like, when is this gonna end? Because they need to like stay together, but there's always something else, another layer that they have to get over, and I like that a lot. It was a great ending.
Yeah, I love that. After the two brothers went through what they went through with their wives, they knew exactly why and what Ewan was willing to do to get Grace. Mm-hmm. Like, and they knew that from the beginning. They were like, he loves you. He wants you back. This is him, you know?
She doesn't see it.
Yeah, no, she doesn't. And because her hurt was just so deep, and you know, like how many of us have been in a situation where we only saw that side for so long, and then you stew in that even longer, you know, and it's completely wrong the way that they saw it, you know? And then like, even in the end, when he tells her and then she relays it to the brothers, they were like, fuck, you know, like they're like, why didn't we see that, you know? Because all they saw was their own fear and their own, you know, but like he calculated everything. He calculated bringing Wit in there because that's what's going to get them running, and at least if he's the one that's unconscious, they can drag him out because he's a smaller one. And he miscalculated on the stab wound on Devil's face, but like he knew that if he went after, he had to make it look convincing. And she was like, the rage on your face, he's like, it wasn't for you, it was for him, you know? Mm-hmm. And like he literally got rid of their past, literally. Mm, yeah, you know,
yeah, that was a great ending.
Set it on fire, and I always say that I was like, I'll set that bitch on fire. So like the fact that he literally did that, and he wasn't even like, it wasn't even like a moment of like, oh, I'm not going to get her back. Like, you know, cause that could have went in that direction. Like, I'm just doing this. I'm going to go down with this house. This house has taken everything from me. And, yeah. You know, but it was, he went in there purposely. He's like, I'm going to get rid of this. And then I'm going to go back to London and I'm gonna convince her to marry me. But Sarah McLean's heroines saved themselves. Right. So she drove up to him and was like, I'm here and I love you. And like, you know, and I love that he was just like, I don't want to be a fucking Duke. And that was the whole clutch of this whole series, is that he chose the dukedom over his family, over Grace. And like that part where he was like, when everyone calls me your Grace and I don't have my Grace with me, I was like, it's just, oh, the story is so good. So emotional, so amazing. You go through all of their pain together. And when he's in Covent Garden getting fucking beat up, he was just like, what would it feel like to have brothers that would protect me or take care of me? I was like, he's so lonely. But yeah, I just, oh, what a great story.
You just understand everything so much better after reading this. And then you have to read the whole series again.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting because, you know, Whit and Double and Grace have always looked back on like that day, that pivotal day that changed everything, through the lens of their like 14-year-old, 15-year-old self, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they've grown up, but like their perspective of that day has never really changed. So they never really, I don't know, like learn to look at it different. They never gave him any other kind of benefit, even though Whit was like, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, they never, I don't know. I don't have, I'm explaining it right. But they just, that part of them didn't ever mature along with the rest of them.
Yeah. I think that like when you're a child, they always say when like a trauma hits you at a certain age, like, and that's like kind of like the pivotal moment that changes your life. Mm-hmm. Like that, like you're a part of your brain stops like developing. Yeah. So it's just like
your mentality is a certain way.
Yeah. Your mental is
situation.
Yeah. So since from that moment on, it's all you're thinking about is survival. Right. Cause, and they left that and that's all they've been doing. And then they made sure that everybody around them was surviving and they took care of everyone around them because no one was there to take care of them.
Yeah.
So unwell. It's such a good book. Holy cow. And I know some people are like, I didn't want to read about Ewan. Ewan sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Grace deserves better. I'm like, no.
He was supposed to. That's the way he was written. We only got two perspectives. We didn't get his. That's for setting up his book for his redemption, even though they even say it. They're like, yes, he's coming and he's working the docks and he's working for Hattie in her office, but he's also been paying for it for 20 years by living as the heir, living with their father and being responsible for that. Yeah. Like he's had his own shit to deal with.
Yeah. And they never thought about that. And I think that's very, it's very human nature, right? Like when you don't like someone, you don't care what the hell they're going through. Like you're over here. Like, why are they breathing? You know, like, so like if you're annoyed or don't like someone, like anything they're going through or anything is very like, well, whatever, that's what they chose, whatever, you know? So I
deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. But they didn't think that like that potentially the dad could have been worse after, you know, that the torture didn't stop. And and to hear that every now and then he would bring up how Grace is doing as like a fucking carrot to dangle in front of him of like, I know how she's doing. You better act right. You better not tell our secret. What a jerk.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Mm-hmm. What to you was like your most favorite part out of all of it? There's a whole book.
I love how he names her. He gives her the name and it's just, it's a punch.
Yeah.
I loved Beast and Devil's conversations, how they're kind of grunting and telling each other, like, I told you so. Like they know what Ewan is doing and what his game plan is, and was really funny to watch that. But I have to say, I think my favorite, well, that's not true. I have lots of favorite parts. But at the very beginning, when he realizes, when he's in the room and he's just waking up and he realizes it was Grace who just left the room, and he realizes she's not dead, and he screams, and it says his roar shook the rafters.
Yeah.
And he breaks down the door to get her.
Yeah.
What a man. Like, can you imagine, like, she's shutting the door and he's like, fuck, like, yeah, like, she's alive, like, you are not gonna hold me from her, like, just just the emotions, oh my god. So those are just a couple of the things that I loved about this book.
Yeah, I think that symbolized everything, that you cannot close a single door on this guy when it comes to, yeah, for him coming for Grace. He will literally rip it out of, yeah, the freaking, yeah, hinges and get to her. He does not care. Nothing can stand in his way. Cause, you know, we talked about Felicity and her unlocking her future with every lock that she picked. He fucking tore the door down. He's like, nothing is gonna stop me. She is my future. She is what I want. She's his hope. And I thought it was like a great metaphor for how far he will go. Like, nothing can stand in his way. A locked door ain't shit. You know, like,
nothing else
matters. He's been, yeah, looking for her for 20 years. Ever since the dad died, he's been searching for her. And, yeah, so,
and what's, he thought door, she's been dead, you know, for a year. So, yeah, yeah.
What's a door compared to everything that he's dealt with? It's, yeah, nothing.
Yeah, for sure.
It's amazing.
What about you?
I have two favorite parts. My first one is, I like the fact that he was so determined. She's like, go away. He did for 1 year, and then that whole time he was preparing for her to become the Duchess,
mm-hmm,
right? Because and then he proposes, but it doesn't turn out that way. And then, but everything is already set up, and then he just had to change the plans a little bit. Fire, but everything, there was a win-win situation. Yeah. He got Grace, yeah, and then the lands were so well set up. It went back to the crown, and they were happy for like it being taken care of, because he was neglecting it for a while. So it was such a nice,
mm-hmm,
win-win, mm-hmm, situation. And,
yeah,
oh,
yeah,
it's just, you know, at least the whole time he was still thinking about Grace when she denied him when he asked. I mean, like, maybe you shouldn't propose when you're fighting like a mob or raid, you know. But,
yeah,
but like everything just worked out.
Yeah.
And then like my second favorite, because I love everyone being happy again at the raid. Nelson, he got his Dowager Countess, and they're like, we're not gonna see him ever again. Like, I know the look of love, and she was like, okay, let him go, like, take care, be careful, like, have a nice life. And we joke about Nelson.
Yeah,
everybody, like, to me, that was like, everyone deserves a happily ever after, including Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Dowager Countess.
Yeah.
They saw it coming. I loved it. It was just such a sweet little detail in the, yeah, book that I read.
It was like super so fast. Much. It was just like, yeah, like she can tell the look of true love. I was like, nah.
But yeah, those two. I mean, I can't see the whole book. So I'm.
Yeah. The whole book was fantastic. And it went by so fast. Like, it, mm-hmm, was just over so fast. I think my favorite is that even though they freaking hated Ewan, they knew that, mm-hmm, Grace loved him and Grace wanted to be with him. And they, one, chose not to kill him or destroy him because of Grace. And then two, you just find out even more that they don't stop her from, you know, going after everything. He's like, they're like, what do you want? If you want to be with him, then figure it out, you know. And then they weren't happy about it. Mm-hmm. Then she was like, you don't even, she's like, what are you talking about? You want to kill him? He's like, I don't want to not kill him. He's like, but you know, like, this is your happiness we're talking about. And then when she was like, I'm going back to that house, like, they put all they've never gone back over there ever. Mm-hmm. And she went for love, and so did they. Like, their, yeah, love for her, to, yeah, protect her. And then even when the house was like on fire, and I'm going to cry. He's like, we made a vow to him to protect you, and you're gonna go jump into a fire? Hell no. And then when she was just like, up until that point, they can like still the communication and the talk. They just know each other so well. She was just like, she's like, you said if like you would know. Like, and then he was like, well, you know, like it was just it was just like I know.
If he was dead, I would know.
Yeah. So they were like, fuck, all right, go, you know? And then he just opens up the door and he's right there. Yeah. It's so good.
The cinematic shot, like, if you think about, like,
I know,
the fire, and then Ewan is standing there, and it's just, like, so dramatic.
I know. And it's so good because it's just how much they all just have this, no matter how terrible the dad was and the things that they went through, their bond because of that place is amazing. And I love that it's literally being burned down and they can start anew, you know. Yeah. And he kept their vow to them, like, you know, the line stops and he figured out a way, right? They're not gonna have heirs, they're not gonna have anything, because that duke is, you know, sorry, spoiler alert, that duke is no longer a duke, you know. And I love it. She's like, I don't want to be duchess when I'm already a fucking queen. And he's like, well, let me be at your side, be by your side, and be king. I was like, okay.
I like how they kept talking about how they wanted to go back to their old life before the whole like Hunger Games thing happened.
Yeah, it was so Hunger Games.
And they did. They just had to get rid of that that ghost in their past.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, the Duke's place, just to get back to the better times in their life.
Yeah.
And they had it was humble and it was hard, but it was happier than being around with the Duke. Granted, like, the Duke is the reason why they found each other.
Right.
But I think it's a really nice closure for them that, I mean, Grace technically probably could have gone to the house to see Ewan by herself and they could have had this lovely, like, you know, reunion moment. But it is really nice that all four of them were there. And I think it's just really good closure, and it kind of solidifies like their relationship, and now they can all go on and be like a family again, you know?
Yeah.
So I really glad, even though, you know, the moment is really about like Grace and you, and it's really about all four of them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really glad that she placed them all there instead of just having Grace and you and kind of have this moment, just the two of them.
Yeah. And I love that when he was like, there's no way anyone will think that I survived that. And right away, Devil's like, I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I was like,
it's like their camaraderie is already back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. As soon as that, like, that thing like came down, and then, yeah, I just
they understood.
Yeah. I love it. And, mm-hmm. and how much of that was for Grace, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, oh, so that Grace can have her own happiness or what did they say? Her own fantasy, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. What to you was like kind of like a cringy part for the characters in the book?
I mean, besides the whole learning about the father and the way he pitted them against each other, and even, you know, like branding Ewan, you know, putting the mark on him.
Yeah.
Just learning, like, I don't know, just hearing about how evil he was to children, you know, it's just hard to read.
Yeah.
And that's definitely super cringy.
Yeah. Super, super Hunger Games.
Yeah. Was it right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like just learning about what happened to Ewan and more about the situation, like that sucked with Ewan. It's sad that he's gonna take over the dukedom. He's privileged, he is an aristocrat. At the same time, he has all this power that other people don't have, and he still can't go see the people that he protected. So they don't know the truth. They don't know everything. And then every single time, the Duke, I'm glad, to me, he's afraid. Like they said, he's afraid of Grace and the truth coming out because of her. Every time he's afraid, he tells Ewan about his siblings. Like, you can't go see them. You can't do anything. You can't help them, or else I'm going to hurt them. And I like knowing the fact that it was the Duke who was so afraid of his children and of his design, this whole thing that he created, this stupid thing that he created against them. So Yeah, it sucks what he did, but at the same time, I like the fact that it was because of his fear
that he did it. I have a question about that. Do you think that the Duke really had tabs on them, or do you think he was just making that up?
I honestly think that if he knew where Grace was, he would have killed him.
That's where my head goes to.
Yeah, I think that it was just, and once again, a very traumatic thing happened when he was at 14, so he didn't think about that, and he knew. Yeah. The thought of his dad knowing where they were and could harm them kept him in check and kept him in line.
So, yeah. Okay.
To me, I look at it as, I don't think that was sort of the point. I think it was more, because I don't know. I go back and forth. And I think she wrote it in just to show how much power plays, how much he sucks, and just how much love, especially Ewan has for Grace. And Ewan has for his siblings. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the point of having that part of the story, just to show that. And again, like, to me, it goes back to fear and how much Duke was so afraid of
jackass.
Like, this whole thing he did.
I think for me, my most like gut-wrenching, like cringy moment was when he was like, "You think I don't want to have brothers?" And look at them, like, look how happy they are with their wives and their daughters. He's like, "You think I don't want that? Like, I had to, you know," like, and knowing that I can, the only person I want that with is you. And I thought you were like dead. Just that whole part was just like,
and him honoring the pact too.
Yeah. Like, and him, just like him being like, I want brothers. I was like, it's true, right? Like, they didn't see it like that at all. They didn't see it that, like, he lost everything as well too. You know, all they saw was that he cared about the dukedom, and that made it such a great story. But when he said that out loud and he's like, "You think I don't want brothers?" Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened to you. But just a great way to end the series. Holy shit.
There are some fun call outs to, you know, to the other side. They mention the other side a lot, and getting to see a little bit of Cecily and Caleb.
Yeah.
It's nice. Kind of fresh on mind now that Bombshell's coming out.
Yeah. And then we saw a little bit of Caleb in the last book too, with like Hattie and Beast.
Yeah.
I love that they were talking about how Duncan was like, had this like very specific build. They're like, "That's very like feminist. Like, I wonder like why he's doing that." And
Lamont and Layton are behind it.
Yeah. And I love that Lamont and Layton were behind something that was going to like help the rookery, but really it was Ewan. And he just was like, no one's going to go behind anything by the Mad Duke, but he's like, "I still want to do it, but from this angle as the Duke," you know? And also that part where he was like, "You will be protected by my name." And she's like, "I don't fucking want that. That's not what I want," you know?
Especially that name.
Yeah. That's a very specific name. Ugh.
That ruins everything.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, brought them together too. So, you know, they do have to be thankful for that, unfortunately.
Well, like her podcast, Faded Mates.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Very, 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 very Faded Mates. But
speaking of references, did you guys catch the Derek Craven reference?
When?
Right in the beginning, when Ewan was all tied up and he's like asking her to untie him. And he's like, "You know, I thought about you as I walked those cobblestones and learned to love them, as I learned to protect them, as though it had been me born in a Covent Garden drain pipe and not you." Aww. He's like, "Untie me. Let me hold you. Let me touch you." She ignored the words. "I thought about you until I stopped thinking of you, because you were no longer one of us. Were you, Duke?"
Well, Sarah McLean does love Lisa Kleypas. I love that. She loves Derek Craven.
She loves Derek Craven.
Oh, man.
Love it.
But speaking of Faded Mates, we're going to jump into our pot tail, where I'm going to ask Natalie about some of her Faded Mates. We'll be right back with our pot tail pondering.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Welcome back to our Pottail Ponder. What are we drinking?
So we are having the Macallan Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, 18 years old, double cast. It is matured in perfect balance of hand-picked sherry seasoned American and European oak casks. If you go on their website, themacallan.com, you can join the Macallan New Masters. It says that you are invited to join the Macallan New Masters Club for unique insider access, exclusive events, and to stay in the know about the Macallan.
Hey. Yeah,
and I want to stay in the know about Macallan's because this thing is nice and so smooth. Good.
Yes.
You can smell the orange.
Yeah.
Such toffee. I love toffee if you like toffee.
Yes.
Also, for that Macallan New Masters, you get the VIP experience where you get a unique insider access. It's your opportunity to embark on exploration of a whiskey like no other. The benefits include email newsletters to keep you up to date and exclusive events that provide immersion into the world of the Macallan. You stay in the know. Monthly communications feature whiskey education and behind-the-scenes Macallan knowledge, specifically curated content that celebrates modern mastery and tips tailored to complement an exceptional lifestyle. And you can go on the website and then you could just put in your info, name, like email and certain things, and you can be a part of that.
Exclusive club.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah, if you go out clubbing, make sure you wear your mask, people.
What are you drinking? Your bottle looked really fun.
Oh, that was liquid popsicle.
Oh, what is it?
It's wine. I didn't actually open it. Oh. We're having a party, not this weekend, but next weekend. So I have a couple of bottles that I'm like kind of hoarding, but I haven't actually opened.
It looks fun, though.
I'll tell you about the other one. My husband's pretty proud of it. So have you guys heard of Pappy? Like Pappy Van Winkle?
No, it sounds familiar.
Yeah. Okay. You'll never get one. Like nobody ever gets one.
Really?
Yeah. No. They're like super exclusive and incredibly expensive. This is not Pappy. It is a Van Winkle. In order to be a Pappy, though, it has to be like a 15 year.
Oh,
but
wow.
The one he has is a 12 year. So it's like the one like underneath it. So he's pretty proud of that. Are you familiar with Buffalo Trace?
Yeah, we had that.
We had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of part of that like Buffalo Trace like umbrella.
Oh, nice.
It is a weeded mash bill. So it's smoother. Okay. Mm. Yeah. He wrote me like a little, I was showing Tone Tone earlier. He wrote me a little.
Oh yeah. Our little educational.
Yeah. Notes. So I would know like what to say about it, but
yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, you like it?
It's all right.
Yeah. Do you drink it like straight up or with like.
He does. I'm not the whiskey drinker. I'll do like wine, but I wanted to bring whiskey because you guys love it. So I thought you would appreciate it.
No, that's amazing. Thank you. I need to go check it out. I'm going to ask Carmen about it. He loves whiskey.
It's probably down the road.
Oh, it's at Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go look.
I think they saw Van Winkle down there.
Okay, I'm going to go.
You'll never get
hold
of it.
We'll see. Tomorrow has like all the weird shit over there.
Yeah, did you?
Like even the Macallan 18. They like have to limit everything. So we'll see what's over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he definitely goes into places to see like what's allocated and like what they're like hiding in the back and stuff.
Yeah.
What's a store?
Oh, that's what we have to ask.
Yeah.
What's hiding in the back?
Yeah.
What's in the back? Yeah.
What do you I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
If they have that wall of glass stuff, they have stuff in the back.
Yeah. And so you usually drink wine. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
It's been a rosé summer. So just rosé has been like a good summer drink.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to this pool party thingy but we have a cabana thingy and they're like, all the drinks look bougie. And I was like, there's rosé. That's all I care about.
Yeah. I'm really not particular. I really don't know a lot about it. As long as it's not too sweet and it's cold, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I need.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to try that. The liquid popsicle. Cause that sounds amazing.
Popsicle. I know.
It's still like here. That's magic words.
Yeah.
Popsicle.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe how warm it is. So like I'm from Louisiana, right? So I'm from like not further south, but like up here in Pennsylvania, there's like trees are already turning, like changing color.
Aww,
I can't believe it.
It's I know. Crazy. This year is going by so fast.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
How is it August?
I know. I'm like, knock on wood, but I'm like, okay, our like hurricane season is going to be done. Like, it doesn't even feel like.
Oh my summers. Gosh.
Yeah.
We are besties. That is something else we have in common. Hurricane season.
Yeah.
I definitely grew up with like early school dismissal. Is the hurricane coming?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like till November here. This one year I went through till December and it was crazy. Mm-hmm. But
last year was crazy for hurricanes down in the Gulf.
Yeah.
Oh, over here too, right? Like it just kept missing us.
Yeah.
Like in Louisiana, if there's a storm coming, everybody just kind of goes like farther inland.
Yeah.
Like to your family, like northern, you know, Louisiana. What do you guys do in an island? You like go to the second floor of your house?
So when I lived in Waikiki, there was like a tsunami warning one time because of like a lot of that stuff. That whole coast, it's like very specific to which like coast it is.
Yeah.
And then they'll send out a map. If you're in this red zone, no matter how high of a floor, you still have to leave.
Yeah.
So I'm just lucky because we're kind of right where we live. It's kind of central. Like we're like as central as it's going to kind of get. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, Kermit lives like on top of a hill too. So the last time there was like a really big thing, he was like, you could just come here. And I was like, eh, okay, I'll stay here and read.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I had like bought like a candle and he's like, don't use it to read, because I was like, this is so, it smells so good. Like, I was like, oh, I want to read in the candlelight. And he's like, do not light that until there's a power. Yeah. Until there's a power outage. I was like, oh, shucks. I should have got two. They just tell you to go central, or like to the other side of the coast, essentially. So the, like if,
or certain shelters.
Yeah.
Which is high schools pretty much.
Yeah. So they'll tell like the big tsunami. It wasn't that big, thank God. But like they had us evacuate the whole South Shore coast. Uh-huh. And then so we had to go like inland a little bit more. But then our friends that lived in Kaimuki, which is not too far from Waikiki, that was like the safe zone. So yeah, it's scary because they set off the sirens. Like it's pretty wild.
I bet. I mean I've definitely grown up in that environment, but we always kind of had, you know, we drive like 2 hours north, you know, to stay with family or something.
Yeah
like just, we have more places to go than you.
You just like kind of clench your ass and bear it
pretty much. Just make sure that your hurricane prepared. Insurance is intact. And you're prepared.
Flood
insurance and
the last big hurricane thing, everyone was like filling water, like they were cleaning out the rubbish cans and like putting like water in there.
Gross.
Just in case, and like tying it down. Like it got pretty windy. Like it wasn't bad, but because we're not on the coast, like where we live, it's not too bad, but usually the harbor gets hit pretty bad.
And it didn't even hit our island. You're talking about the one that hit Big Island.
Yeah.
But we still felt everything.
Yeah. So Big Island and Kauai usually feels the grunt like of it because of the way the islands are shaped. So like sometimes there's like this whole video where once it hit like the mountains in Oahu, like the hurricane just like lifted. It was like wild. It was just like Mother Nature, you know.
She's
whatever you want.
she's something. Don't mess with her. So you know.
But
hurricane season. I know last year was really mellow. And then
the year before
was kind of nuts, but the water's been super cold lately, so I'm not really worried about hurricane season. So they say that the cold water breaks it. So it
hasn't been like as humid as in the past year. So it's really nice.
Yeah, we'll see. But I have a would you rather Sarah McLean heroes versus other. I tried to find heroes that you both have read. Mm-hmm. Tried. So we're gonna start off easy.
What's easy?
We're gonna go with Ralston. Versus Zachary Bronson from Where Dreams Begin.
Oh Oh, God. Okay, if Zachary Bronson can play the piano like Ralston, that's what I want.
Sorry.
All right, I have to go Zachary Bronson because Where Dreams Begin is like Kleepas's like best. That's my favorite Kleepas book. But Ralston is such a stud too.
He is. He is.
That was cruel. Not a good one.
Sorry.
Ralston.
Okay.
I like Ralston. I love that book.
Okay.
Me too. Ralston.
Okay, so whoever you chose or Reese Winterbourne.
Fuck.
I like the fact that they're both enablers.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm still just going to have to say... I'm going to stay with Zachary Bronson.
You should never, like, pit Kleepas and McLean, like, heroes against each other ever again. This is hard.
Yeah, I would put other heroes, but your guys' reading lists are kind of different.
Let's see if Cassian is going to be an option.
Well, they're both my favorites.
Where did you get this list from? How do you know that, like, we read different things?
Because I'm a pretty good stalker.
Where did you go? Because I don't think, did you go to Goodreads or just on Instagram?
Just Instagram.
Oh.
But who did you choose? Did you choose?
I stick with Zachary.
Zach. No, I think I'm sticking with Ralston.
Okay, it's okay.
Oh, it's a Sinjin.
I would like to point out you haven't chosen Winterbourne for a lot of this stuff, so.
It's hard. It's I know. I think, like, in my head, I'm like, that's yours already.
Okay, so whoever you chose or Temple.
No, I'm sticking. That one's a little bit easier for me. I'm going to stick with Zachary.
I'm sticking with Ralston.
Okay. Whoever you chose or Wes Ravenel.
I'm sticking.
See you, Ralston.
Okay. Okay.
No. What does that look?
Okay, whoever you chose or Devil.
No, I'm sticking. Although I really do like Devil tapping his
stick and making the whole and everyone world. Like,
yeah, replying. That's pretty good.
I'm sticking with Ralston.
Okay, whoever you chose or Tom Severin.
No, Tom doesn't do it for me.
Ralston.
Okay. Whoever you chose or Beast.
Nope, I'm sticking Zachary.
Ralston.
Here, we're going to switch genres really quick.
Okay.
Whoever you chose or Josh from The Hating Game.
Shit.
Joshua Templeman.
Yeah. I can't wait to see that movie.
I know. I saw it's supposed to come out by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have given The Hating Game to 7 people. I've counted.
Oh, it's so good.
And like non-romance readers. I'm like, oh, I have a book for you.
Yeah, it's so amazing.
So good.
So freaking good.
I'm staying loyal with Ralston.
Wow. Okay.
I know, that's been the
thing. It's hard to compare like historical to contemporary.
I know. I had a you guys are too comfortable. I had to switch it up.
I don't know. Joshua Templeton, his family has an awful, he's got a lot of baggage. Like his dad's not great.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna go Josh.
Wow.
We have a Ralston. Okay. Last but not least. Whoever you chose or Ewan.
Okay, Ralston, that's easy. Sorry. I thought you were going to say Kara McCrae.
Huh, McCrae?
Yeah. I would have switched real quick.
No, I already know. That's why. We played this game and she went McCrae the full way through.
I think I'll stick Josh, but I mean, there's a lot of really good runner ups in that list.
Right. Josh is Josh. Josh I mean, is Josh. Josh. Yeah. Right.
I need to listen to it again.
It's so good. Did you listen to it?
No, I've read it like four times, but I haven't.
The narrator is great.
Okay.
She's so good. Her voice is so good.
Yeah.
Ralston from the top down over here. You a loyal one.
Yeah, but you know it's always been Ralston anyway.
Yes. Right? True. Ralston!
Except last time. If it's against Callie, I pick Callie all the time.
Yeah, you gave him up real quick for Callie. Yeah. You're like
Ralston. I stuck to St. John.
You did.
I stuck to Nick.
Yeah, you did for a long time.
And they look the same except the scars.
They're so different though.
I know they are.
They're so different great. Though.
Need to do a reread again.
Yes.
I know you're making me want to reread Callie's book.
I love that book.
Oh my gosh. We're wrapping up our Seduction of Sarah McLean. Mm-hmm. We have a great huge prize from the Fated Mates podcast, and we have Natalie's Cup included. We have the whole entire Bare Knuckle Bastard series. We have an autographed copy of Bombshell, and we are really, really excited to do a huge giveaway for that. I cannot wait for Bombshell.
I know.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
So I pre-ordered like the Nook version. And then she was like, oh, but guess what? There's a step back. And I was like, well, now I have to have
the physical copy too. Yeah.
So yeah. I ordered it from Word, like where she signs them.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll have two copies.
Yes. Yeah. No, I can't wait.
Which is fine.
Yes.
It's fine. I accidentally did that with Devil in Disguise too. I forgot that I pre-ordered like the like Kindle version.
Me too.
And so then the day, and then all of a sudden
Audible.
All of a sudden the physical copy came in on the day it was released. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, you're so lucky. But
I left two books on the shelf. People got there before us.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I want to meet you.
Yeah. There's like a weird, not weird, but like there's like a kind of a big romance. We just gotta find them. Yes. They're just probably just not on Instagram, but we can't find them.
I know.
And you gotta find them and go sell your pop-up stuff to them.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I wanna like test it. Like, we're gonna go to this baby expo, but like sprinkle in romance stuff to see if that's what sells, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're kind of thinking.
Or yeah, if people just talk about it, they recognize the Bridgerton on it, you know, then you know you've got an audience somewhere, even if they don't buy it.
Yeah.
Because maybe they don't have a baby.
I know one of my old like schoolmates, she read Bridgerton when we were in high school. I'm like, okay, why didn't you say anything?
You wouldn't have read it.
Probably not. But one of my good friends was reading Clapis. I didn't realize she was reading her when we were in high school. And the other person that I know that reads Clapis is she's a teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a teacher. We still talk about it when we're on Instagram and stuff.
But
they are sprinkled around the island.
I
do see a few youngins and like older people who pick up like romance books too. Specifically, I've seen it with Clayfest books. So I'm like, they're there. We just have to be like, I'm not being weird, but let's talk.
Hello.
Hello, stranger.
You need a flyer that like the lost dog ones where you can like pull a tab at the bottom.
I know.
Like, let's have a meetup.
Yeah, seriously.
Follow Instagram accounts.
But every time I'm at Barnes.
No
one's ever in the romance section. Because remember when we went, they made fun of us. They're like, is there any books left in the romance? Because we came out with like two stacks each, right? And we had pre-orders too. So like, they were like, are there any other books left in the... I was like...
Yeah, there's tons.
Yeah. They're like, is there anything left in romance? I was like, not in Julie Quinn, but yeah.
Not Linda Bell, McLean.
Yeah, we took all.
Not Clapis, it was like those four. I think even Eloisa James.
Yeah. Because we want to shop at an indie bookstore, but there's none out here that carries romance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have any either. That's why I order either from the Rip Bodice or like Sarah McLean's, whoever's like signing in, because I don't really have. But yeah, because I was going to say, maybe if you had a used bookstore, you could ask them to like put a sign up or something about
Where
is the romance community, you know?
No. There's like a bookstore that I go to that I had like partnered with for business, and mm-hmm. their specialty is actually like coffee table books. That's it. Like just like for decoration.
Sorry.
But it was full.
No, I shouldn't laugh because I do that. I buy books like that.
Yeah. So. There was so many people in there. But speaking of Ritz Bodice, tell everyone how you got involved with the box, like yeah. how you turned your whole house upside down into a mug making machine. Like
I did. Y'all, I had my 4-year-old putting like stickers like on boxes.
Aww, for I love
me.
It.
It was awesome. I just emailed them and I was like, hey, I have a store if you I'd love to like partner with you. And Leah wrote back and was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like I was not expecting to really to even hear back at all, but I was like, it was really fun just to be a part of and to work with her on what they wanted for their box and figuring out a way to like, you know, get tissue paper. And I put some stickers in there for people and stuff. So it was a really fun thing to be a part of. 715 mugs.
Yeah.
My house is literally taken over.
I love it.
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. That's so cool. Yeah.
That is real cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
It was a really fun thing to be a part of.
Yeah. And then probably like, you know, like your design side was probably very happy too, right? Like,
yeah, it surprises me the designs that people really gravitate towards. Like I've got one that's like the Trope bookshelf one. And I was like, oh, I just like threw it together. And it's like definitely like the best selling one that they have. So it's interesting. The ones that I like don't always do as well as like ones that I don't think are as strong. So
that's fine.
Yeah. So Sierra Simone, have you guys seen her scale of taboo?
Mm-mm.
Mm. They talked about this on Faded Mates and she posted it. And I emailed her a year ago, like almost a year ago, basically like, hey, this is really fun. How about I mooch this design off of you and put it on some merch? And I just heard back from her and she's like, sure, no problem.
Wow.
So I need, and it's hilarious. It's just like a diagram and it's like anything that could be taboo in like a sexual way. She's like plotted it on there between like how like bad it is versus how like bad it is.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So
oh, cool. Like,
is this on her website?
I don't know.
I've only read like one like novella from her.
No, it's not just her books. Like there's like IAD stuff is on there. You'll find it. Like you'll recognize things. Some things are generic, like 2 P's 1 V, you know, but then there is like specific like IAD stuff on there.
Oh my gosh.
I have a picture. I'll send it to you so you can see it. But I'm excited about, I just ask a lot of people like, hey, do you want to do this? And sometimes they say yes.
Yeah. No, that's
that's great.
Got it. You got to do it. Yeah. The worst you can hear is no. And then
right.
Nothing above changed. That is nothing, or you hear nothing and it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Or you wait a year and then they come back to you. And
yeah. And then awesome. Sometimes you get to do something kind of fun. So
that's super cool. All right. Well, we love you. We'll be back next week, guys, with Natalie again with Bombshell. Any bold predictions? Yay. Who's going to do the groveling in the end? Will it be Cecily or Caleb?
Oh.
Both. But like I said, we talked about it a few episodes ago. I want Cecily to lock Caleb into a room.
Yes.
And she's going to perform for him, but he's trying to get out, but she locked all the doors.
Yes.
I want that.
Yes. Bold prediction.
Oh.
Who's groveling in the end?
Caleb.
What about you?
Like, I'm sorry. You're right. We belong together. Kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to, it has to be Caleb. It's not going to be. I mean, Cecily's going to grow and she's going to mature and she's going to learn through it too. But
yeah.
It's going to be him.
I wonder, like, what his story, though. I wonder if there's going to be this mystery person that comes in. We'll see.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Cecily.
That's groveling.
Yeah.
She's, I wouldn't put it past her because she's pretty,
she's too upfront right now, which means that
she's going to do, she's pretty ballsy, you know, so she could, she's definitely going to be part of it, if not the grovel, she's definitely going to be. Yeah. I don't know. Did you guys get an arc? Have you heard read it yet?
I did, but I haven't had time to read it yet.
You haven't read it yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should be able to listen to it twice before we record.
I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to read it, but I'm going to listen to it. So, yeah.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm. No, but Caleb has an American accent, so that'll be awesome. Well, I guess it's not an accent, but, you know.
But we hear it a little bit already.
In this one, yeah.
Yeah, in this series, so.
And the last one.
So good.
Can't wait. I cannot wait. Yeah, I think Cecily's going to do the groveling, but we'll see. We'll be back next week to see who was right and who was wrong. And mm-hmm. then
if you get those scenes that,
yes.
that I want.
And then just so that you guys are prepared, we're going to pit. I am going to Would You Rather every Sarah McLean character there ever was against each other for you guys. So be ready for that.
At least one favorite ready so I can stick with them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah.
You should mix it up though.
Oh, I am. Good. I already have it ready. I was going to do it this week, but I was like, wait, we're doing Bombshell. No, I'm going to do it next week.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I did some deep diving so I could find Josh. where can everyone find you? Where can they find your merch? And how can they jump on the Pennyroyal Green Discord?
Instagram is the best place. Kiss and Let Me Tell You is where I do reviews and where I run the Pennyroyal read-along from. And then stores on Etsy. It's called Kiss and Let Me Tell You on Etsy. And then it also has an Instagram account, which is romance_novels_merch. And that's where you can find me. I'm getting ready to drop 5 new designs as soon as I can organize my life.
Nice. Oh, I can't wait.
Stay tuned.
Yep. Another Yeti cup is about to get compromised. And it won't be mine.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you guys so much for having me and just for chatting. I will chat with you guys about anything, anytime.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks for making time and figuring it out. Scheduling is kind of crazy. And thanks for reading 2 books in 1 week for us. We appreciate you.
I did it. Fine. Yes.
So Bombshell, the episode will be out a little bit late. The book will come out Tuesday and we're going to be recording on a Thursday. So probably that Saturday or Sunday will be the episode. If we can get it earlier, we will. But so next week's episode will be a little bit later because we want it to be on time-ish. Yeah. And but yeah, we're really excited to read Bombshell. We're really excited to discuss it with you.
Yeah.
And
have a big giveaway.
Yes, and do the big giveaway. Yes. We love you guys. If you're not following us, please follow us on Lit Wallflowers Podcast on Instagram, lit_wallflowers on Twitter. If you would like to email us, we are litwallflowerspodcast@gmail.com. Lit Wallflowers is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Yeah.
Super exciting. Thank you guys so much. We're ready for Bombshell.
Yeah.
I know. She's going to read it early, so she's going to be very happy.
I know, but
you're not allowed to it. You're not allowed to read it until you read the other 2 Pennyroyal Green.
No, I told myself that in my head. I'm like, cannot.
So you have to read it, and then we have to convene as a group again. Oh, we'll discuss it at Bombshell.
Yeah.
We'll be back, guys. Thank you. Thanks, Natalie. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Yay.